It's a marvelous thing to come together to worship. The emotional aspect of worship is to express how we feel, how we love. And I love to come to worship God and express my emotion, my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could see where He brought me from, what He's done for my life. If I could only understand what the Lord has done for you and where He's brought you from, and the reason why that you sometimes get emotional about it. The thing about Pentecost is it's open and free. It's open and free. It's open and free. I was sharing my testimony with someone this week, how that God moves in mysterious ways His ones to perform. In fact, it was another pastor who pastors not too far from here, and a different denomination, and he had stopped by, and we was in my office, and we was talking about how God works, as I said, in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. There's not one of our lives that, even though I don't know yours completely or you don't know your neighbor's completely, yet God works in every life. Sometimes it's just mysterious how He does that and how He moves. You can be on a battlefield, and the old saying is there's no unbelievers in a foxhole. My dad taught me a very valuable lesson when I was trying to reach him after I had come home from service. I was concerned about his life, his soul. He was a rough sort of a guy. He worked in oil fields. But he was always good to his neighbors, and anybody needed help, he was always there to help them or to do whatever he could for them. But Dad just had a lot of things going on in his life. He came back from World War II, and he'd landed on Omaha Beach, the second wave. Out of the company that landed with it, only 23 of them was left alive at the end of the day. He fought his way up through part of that area of France and wound up in the Battle of the Bulge, all of that. And I tried to talk to him. I really felt a burden in my heart to talk to him about what God could do for his life. This was a man who never went to church or took me to church, or we went to church together, my mother and I and him. There were just three of us. I was the only child. And he's the man, when I went off to war, shook my hand and told me good luck, and now his left hand brought that little green Bible. You've heard the story over and over again. Hand me the Bible that he carried during war. It was a little green service Bible. And he said, "Here, son, you might find some use for it." He said, "I did." Now, here was a man that you would not think that he knew anything about God or cared about God. You look at a lot of people's lives, and a lot of things in the history of their lives have taken place. There's people that you don't realize how much they do think about God or how much God has played a part in their lives. And it's up to that individual to then accept what God's done for them and to realize what God's done for their lives. to make that change. And I knew where I could find my dad on that particular Saturday, and I went to the VFW. Dad had been there for a good while, and he was feeling good. I said, "Dad, I need to talk to you and share some things with you." And we left VFW and we went to a little corner cafe. And we sat there and I told him how good God had been to me. And, "Dad, you know He has. And, Dad, I know that God wants to do the same thing for your life." And tears running down his cheeks of his face, he stretched both hands across the table of that little cafe he was at, and he said, "I can't, son, I can't. I have too much blood on my hands." Yet, there was a man that I met who was in World War II, who was a machine gunner. He was my first pastor. And in his life, there was something that kept rolling around in his mind after he got out of service, something about scarlet and blood. And he shared it with his wife, and his wife found the scripture in Isaiah, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." One man could accept the grace and the mercy of God, and another man could not forgive himself. We meet a lot of people on this road, this journey of life, and they don't struggle with you or me or situations, they struggle with themselves. In some situation where they can forgive themselves or whether God would forgive them. I'm so glad, and I tell God often that, thank you for the understanding, the revelation, not only of your Godhead, not only of your creation, but the understanding of your grace through salvation that had brought us life when once we were dead and feeling. I was thinking yesterday and today about life and God and the strength that we have in Him. You and I need things in our lives that keeps us propped up sometimes. There's things that will come along and shake our lives and disturb it to where we almost feel like falling over. How can I take another step? How can I face this? How can I get through this situation? And so we need something to keep us upright, keep us steady. Then I begin to realize, of course, that God is that one thing that keeps us steady, keeps us propped up, keeps us in the right order that we need to be in. Let's look at some scripture here, perhaps. Found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And then let's look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Here is an example of what I would call the bookends. Bookends is meant to keep the books upright. Keep them from falling over. I've got a little stand here with some books in it. If I would take these bookstands away, undoubtedly these books could not stand by themselves. And if I would shake the table a little bit, those books would come falling over. And then I would have to bend over and pick them up, which I'm not interested in doing. So we need the aspect of the bookends of God. We face some shakings and tremblings and things that are so disappointing that will cause us to fall apart sometimes. And it's only God that's able to keep us in the right place, in the right situation, that we're able to exist and live. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it starts out like this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. In this first reading of Matthew 1, 23, that's one book end. Just think about that as being the beginning, right side, if you want, the book end that's in place. You go to the last chapter of the book of Matthew, and here God says to us, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the other book end. He starts out with the promise that he will be there with you. He winds up with the other book in and puts it in place and says, I will be with you always. It is the prospect of living between these bookends of promise. It's where we're able to exist our lives. We leave here this morning and we'll enjoy a picnic and have a good time together in family life. After you leave the picnic, you go home. And then Monday morning, back to the routine of working and getting up and through the whole week. And one person says it, 1,000 people say it. The time goes so fast. We're so busy. Our schedule is such. And we live off of a calendar and our clocks and our telephone, Facebook, whatever. Just everything is just a wheel turning and turning. It's living between the promises. The book in it says, I will be with you. And the other book in that simply says, I will be with you always. And then we live our life on the promises that God has established between these book ends. Maybe you remember a long time ago, but it's something, it was a story, a front page story. It was about, and you may remember this name, Captain Scott O'Grady. I remember Captain Scott O'Grady, what happened to him. History moves on, doesn't it? Well, O'Grady was a U.S. Air Force F-16 pilot. And he was shot down on December the 16th, 2015, while enforcing a no-fly zone in Bosnia, in that conflict at that time. 6 days he spent hiding from the enemy's search. O'Grady's subsistent living was on leaves and grass and ants and rainwater, trapped in a Ziploc bag that he carried with him. The story unfolds and he simply says, I hid and I prayed. Recounting his experience later in a book that he wrote, he described the 6 days as being a one long prayer. From the moment he was shot down, he prayed, God, please let me be ejected safely. Parachuting to the ground, he prayed, God, please help me land safely. Hiding behind a tree root from a Siberian search party, he prayed, God, please let me survive. While hiding for those 6 days, he prayed someone would hear the emergency radio broadcast that he may be rescued. His prayers were answered. He ejected and landed safely. His prayer was answered because he remained hid from the opposing search parties. And his prayer was answered that the radio signal was heard. Salvation came in the form of a 40-plane armada on orders to rescue the downed pilot. When the Marine helicopter dropped from the skies to where the radio signal was being transmitted, the pilot saw a man run from the underbrush where he was hiding. Barely had they opened the door than Captain Scott O'Grady lunged inside shouting, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Between the bookends, when we're living our life, the promise that he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you, and the other bookend of life, it says, I'll never leave you. We live this life, it's like one long, continuous prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary. Thank you, thank you. You heard my prayers when I said, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Today, O'Grady's retired from the military. He appears at different gatherings. He's a special speaker. Why would he enter O'Grady's prayer? Because God loves every man, woman, and child. Whether they think like me or they don't think like me, whether they live like me or they don't think like me or live like me, every man is made in the image of God. Every man was made for the purpose of God. God loves Scott O'Grady. No doubt that Scott O'Grady loved God. There's no doubt that you, sitting here this morning, love God. And there's no doubt in my mind that God loves you. It's those tremendous decisions that we make, living between the promise that God said, I will find you, I will rescue you, and I'll never leave you alone. It's in between the bookends of these promises that we live our life and have our being. Tremendous bookends of faith and hope and promise. You listen to the bookends of promise found in the Gospel of Matthew. Said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the hope of the world. He has never left you nor forsake you. From the moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb until the moment you was born until the age that you're living right now, whether it be young, middle age, or old. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He'll hear your prayer when you cry out in the nighttime. He'll listen to your weeping and gnashing of your own teeth as you do not know which way to turn left or to the right. But you know this, understand this morning, that God is with us. When you turn to the last chapter of the book of Matthew 28, he tells them this great commission to go forth baptizing in the name. I know that name this morning. The name is Jesus. He says, when you find these people and you teach them and you baptize them in my name, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That word amen means so be it. God will never change his mind. God will never change his situation. God will never change and take his eyes off of your life, no matter where you're at and where you're located. Matthew puts interesting bookends on the gospel bearing this name of his. He begins with a Jewish Messiah, one who will save his people. He ends with a gospel Savior, who is a global Savior, one who will reach the whole world. He begins with an incredible birth, and he ends with an incredible resurrection, because the promises of God cannot be killed or taken away from humanity. You may bury the body, but the spirit will still come back and keep the promise that God has made to humanity. When you feel like everything is lost and nothing is hopeful, everything is gone out of your reach, I'm here to tell someone here this morning that God is still alive, because the Spirit came back into that body and raised it from the tomb, and He is there to help you every moment, every day of your life. The foremost bookends offered by Matthew are the ones we read. He begins with a promise, Emmanuel, God with us, and he ends with Emmanuel promising, lo, I'm with you always. The godly always have been assured of God's presence. If you've been born of water and of spirit, I'm going to tell you something this morning, that you can be assured God is there. It began with Abraham. People noticed that God was with him. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 22, undeniable, this man had something or someone with him that was blessing him and helping in his life. He promised Isaac, and I will be with you, in Genesis 26 and 24. He promised Jacob, I will be with you, in Genesis 28 and 15. He promised Moses, I'll be with you, in Exodus 3 and 12. He promised Israel during her journey through the desert, I will be with you, Exodus 33 and 14. God's promises, his presence, frames our being. Just as these bookends frame the essence of holding these books in place, so the promises that God makes from the beginning of your life to the ending of your life is what holds us in place. It's what we do between the bookends of the promises of God. It's how we live our life and perceive God in His grace and His mercy. When seemingly the earth will shake under our feet, and our spirit seems to melt as if molten lava, yet we're held true, because we know that weeping may endure through the nighttime, but there's going to be some rejoicing when the sun rises in the morning time. Why? Because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. And that's the very essence that holds us together in our lives. In our sickness, in our pain. The Old Testament called the God who is always there Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present help in the time of need. And one translation of the scripture says, in the time of trouble. We speak of abiding in His presence, but His presence abides in us. This is why that when you come to the New Testament, and you have the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the beginning of the New Testament church. It is that not God wanted just to be around you of humanity, but God wanted to do something even more. Living between the promises of being there when you're born and being there when you're dying. Let me tell you what, dying is simply just a change of position and a change of address. You're still in His presence. For the spirit of a man or a woman that passes away is gone back to the God who gave it. Never leave you. Never forsake you. The hope we have is not in this world, because if we had hope in this world, we'd be of all men most miserable. This is why our life is not focused upon this world or the things of this world. Our eyes are not set on the things of this world, what the world can or cannot give. It can give you a promise and break it in the next moment and next minute, next hour, next whatever. When God says, I'll never leave you, He can't break that, for it is impossible for God to lie. So His abiding presence now lives inside us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And by that presence we find peace. God told the Apostle Paul what He also told the prophet Isaiah. He simply said, quit being afraid. I'm with you, Isaiah 41, verse 10. And then in Acts chapter 18, verse 10, quit being afraid. The same God who spans the testaments of the Old and New Testament can cross any divide with you. By the presence, we find favor in His presence. By His presence, we find promotion. God lifts you up above the shadows, and He'll plant your feet upon the higher ground. Amen. By His presence, we find safety. Jacob, you're walking into a golden cage. For the moment, you will be cared for, but a Pharaoh will rise and persecute your people, but don't worry. God is with you and will bring you back to the promised land. Genesis 28:15. No matter how far you wander in your life, remember this. God, if you allow Him, will get a hold of you and bring you back to where you need to be. What a great blessing it is when a pastor sees people, and oftentimes it's related as sheep, people being sheep, and they wonder, the grass is always greener on the other side. Have you seen sheep? They keep sticking their head through the fence trying to get that other grass on the other side. Amen. And when you realize the grass really is not green on the other side, you've got good green grass right where you're standing. Amen. You see, living for God and serving God is all about the relationship that we develop in our own lives. Because He's the bookend. He said, I won't leave you nor forsake you. I'll be there with you always. And it's that living in the promises of God in between the bookends. That's what keeps us steady. That's what keeps us upright. Our lives are framed by these promises of God. He is Alpha. He's at the start. He's Omega. He is at the finish. Confident God's beginnings. Confident God's endings. The Apostle Paul said, I've run the race. I've completed the course. But then he knew this, there is something laid up for me. There is a crown of righteousness. Oh, I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked, I've been let over the wall, and I've been stoned as left for dead, but I'm here to tell someone this morning, there is a crown that is laid up.
I've finished my course. I've run the race. I've lived between the bookends. A promise that He'd never leave me nor forsake me.
What keeps you going? Because I'm living between the promises. Living between the promises of God. The gospel is like no other. Shows the conflict between problems. We understand that. The Apostle Paul made a statement and said, you did run well, but what happened? What hindered you? I'll tell you what will hinder you. It's when you forget the promises of God. When you forget what's holding you up every day of your life. Do you understand that in the between times, our lives will be tested? We have great difficulty holding on sometimes to what God had promised us. Tremors will come along. You fail God. You stumble. And then you remember. You never leave me nor forsake me. And lo, I'll be with you there always. And it holds it all together. It's the in-between. It's those moments when you're tested in your life. Maybe you feel like just dropping out. Then you remember, God loves me, and you feel a gentle hand pulling you back in. Living between the promises. What's keeping you in the kingdom of God? Row of standing books. Shake the bookshelf, but the books hold firm. And if the bookends hold firm, the books stay steady. The writer of Hebrews said, he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. I don't fully understand it, but this message is for someone this morning. God's wanting you to stay steady. God is wanting you to remember that whatever you're living through right now, between the promises of God, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. His gentle hand wants to pull you back in closer to Him. Why would I say that I can't when a faithful God says, you can? Why should I be weak when the Lord is my strength and my life? Why should I give in to the enemy when the greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world? Why should I feel alone when Jesus said, He'd be with me. God is wanting someone this morning to realize that after the shout and after the worship, you live a life of one long prayer. You see, Captain Scott O'Grady said of the 6 days behind the enemy lines, I could feel the prayers of people praying. Have you ever told someone, I have felt the prayers of the people? Have you ever said to someone, I have felt the prayers that someone was praying for me? Can you feel the prayers in this building? Someone has called your name in prayer. What brought you back from backsliding? What brought you back from a precipice of walking away from God is because someone, somewhere, maybe in this building on a Saturday night prayer meeting, or maybe a couple that has the prayer mantle that is shared in this congregation, they receive a list of the names of people and leadership of the church, and 30 minutes a day they're praying. Can you feel the prayers? And the God who promised to be with you at your beginning and your ending of life is now ready to help you for this in-between time of just living for Him. You get up tomorrow morning, the Lord tarries, and you say, it's going to be a good day because I'm living between the bookends. Whatever happens today, whatever I face today, I know one thing, God is with me because He said He never would leave me. Let's stand together, shall we? Call upon Him. Trust in Him. They that call upon the names of the Lord shall be saved. Seek Him while yet may be found between the bookends. You may be here this morning. You're seeking God for an answer in your life. You're asking God for some direction in your life. I will say it again today, as I said it Wednesday night in our Bible study, educational night. It is the one thing that you need the most in your life, and it is the Word of God. It is the anchor. I love to shout. I love to sing. I love to worship. I love to express my emotions to God. But the one thing that's going to keep you is the Word. And that Word says, I'm your bookend, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Would you lift your hand? Let's love Him right now. Let's love the Lord right now. How good You are to us, God. How good You are to us. Living between the bookends, I can call upon Your name and You're right there. I can whisper Your name over a sick child and You're there. In a dilemma I do not know how to get through or get out of, when I whisper Your name, You're there. At the mention of Your name, there is power and there is authority. Anybody love living between the bookends? Anybody love living between the bookends of promise?
It's the in-between we're living in me. Realize that it is God that is my strength and my hope and my help. In fact, maybe you might want to join me down around this altar just giving thanks for it always being there, always being there, always being there. Being there in my trouble, being there in my time of misery, being there when I seem like I really don't know where to turn to, right or the left. I know you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You'd be there with me. Somebody want to join me this morning? Let's give him thanks. Let's give him praise.